Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Joel Elston here. Today is Thursday, November the 8th, 2018. It is 8 a.m. New York time, 5 a.m. Los Angeles time, 1 p.m. London time, and this is your daily dose of happy for this Thursday. And we hope your Thursday's off to a great start. We know ours is, except for one little glitch. For whatever reason, our live stream to the Facebook group isn't working, so we're just doing this as a straight podcast today, but that's okay. We'll get through it. And Joel, this is not new for us. We've been doing straight podcasts for a long time, so I'm sure we can handle it.
Well, we've had all kinds of amazing technical difficulties over the years, and we survived, and today will be no different.
Absolutely, yes. This is par for the course right here, so no doubt about it.
I remember one time, it's been a while, we did an entire show before we were not even broadcasting anywhere or recording.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a while back, so this is, you know, Facebook Live will... we'll be back once you figure that little button out, but we're good now.
We are good now. And in fact, I'm just double checking just to make sure we really aren't broadcasting on Facebook Live, because I'm getting mixed signals from the BlueJeans software saying, yes, you're broadcasting. And meanwhile, Facebook is saying, no, you're not broadcasting. So I guess we're not broadcasting. I'll just kind of ignore that little piece from Facebook Live. But we may hear a little thing here saying that we're no longer broadcasting, so you know, you can ignore that.
The broadcast of Facebook Live has stopped.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on there, but that's okay. We'll figure that out another time. So anyway, how you doing? Absolutely. We haven't talked in a week. How's it been?
Things have been really good. We've had we're in fall here. We seem to be in a good rhythm. I love fall. One of my favorite times of year.
Mm-hmm.
One of my top four for sure. It's something that I look forward to, the cooler weather, the leaves changing, and it feels really invigorating. So things have been great this week. I can't think of anything overly, you know, out of the way. Well, I'm very grateful the election's over.
And, yeah.
We can move on from that, and you know, hopefully we can move on from that. And at least I certainly have. And it was actually interesting and sort of fun to watch. And but I'm glad that's over as well.
Oh, me too. Me too. I've actually been giving some thought to doing something that's almost anathema, which is I was thinking about doing a special podcast in which I would basically talk about politics, but from a complete law of attraction angle, where I would I wouldn't take a position necessarily on issues. I would simply go through issue by issue and saying, well, you know, the left asked for this and the right asked for this, but both of them are really not asking for what they want. Why don't they both ask for this? Because this is what they want in the first place. Things like that. But I'm not so sure I really want to go down that path, so we'll see. I think you're right. It's a good idea to put it behind us.
one or two times in the past, we have tried to do stuff on the edges of that, and
yeah,
it wasn't always well received. So the concept of in fact, I remember one podcast we did was actually considered that it was a forum which we were using to post them. It was considered adult content only because
yes,
it was considered, I thought it was incredibly uplifting. So I guess the politics divides so many. In my world, you're welcome to do that. I just hope you do it with another host.
Yeah, right. I understand completely. No, I thought we'd stick with something a little more simple from the law of attraction perspective. By comparison, it is simple, but for many people, it's a very confusing thing and something that people wrestle with all the time, which is, what if my stuff isn't showing up? I mean, that's like the common complaint, right? You know, I've been putting it out there. I've been vibrating. I've been feeling good. I've been, you know, focusing on what I want and so forth. My stuff isn't showing up. Where's my stuff? Because I need this stuff. This is the stuff I really need that I'm asking for. You know, how do you handle that? That's a question that we deal with all the time. So I figured we could attack that one today. I mean, if you get a client who comes to you and they say to you, you know, this law of attraction stuff, it sounds good, but I'm not sure that it really works. It's certainly not working for me. What do you tell them?
Well, you know, we try to find out, you know, why it isn't working or why their perception isn't working. It's certainly working. It has no option but to work. But
right.
But what's causing that? And how do we sort of approach it from the way of where we're headed and how we're going to get things going? And so basically you break it down. And it always comes down for me, and I can only speak for me, is into what resistance I'm putting out there. And usually if I'm if I'm asking the question, this is going to sound really ridiculous as I'm saying it, but as I'm asking the question, why isn't this working? It's that, that itself is the resistance, if that makes any sense at all. It's the question of that, of course it's working. Why am I not receiving it? What is blocking me from receiving it? And it usually is that desire, that anxiety attached to you put so much into what you're wanting that it is just almost impossible to get because I don't particularly like talking about money all the time, but it tends to be the one thing that draws everybody, the law of attraction in the beginning.
Right.
So, you know, why isn't this working? Why can't I attract it? What is happening in my life that I cannot attract this? It's usually attached again to, I want it so bad that I'm wanting it. It's creating anxiety. And so the emotion of trying to get to the emotion of feeling what it's like to have it versus desiring it at a level that creates anxiety or creates the vision of not having it.
Mm-hmm.
Most times that people are wanting something, they accept, they don't have it. The relationships. I have a young lady that is an incredible person. She has done very well financially, and she's turned her life around in so many ways using the law of attraction. But in relationships, she keeps finding herself stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her focus. She's on all the different dating apps. She's constantly checking them. So she's putting out to the universe or to the law of attraction field that hey, I like this. So, okay, you want more lack. I mean, when you have, you know, five apps going all at once and trying to check each person and making, you know, it's just a lot of drama attached to those folks in the dating world using those apps. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on there, but, you know, it really helps if you understand, I want to feel what it's like to have what I'm seeking versus desiring on a level that creates a feeling of lack. And that's a lot of gobbledygook probably for the first time listener, but, that's sort of the answer.
No, it's a good answer. I think you described it nicely, but it's also the problem all wrapped up into it, because you're right. I mean, I can remember back before I met Louise, there was like a good 20-year period of my adult life where I got nowhere with relationships. And at the time, I would have told you that I was focused on finding somebody that I had this, I was convinced, I had this belief that deep down, if I just kept looking and looking, I would find somebody. And then over time, that belief got eroded because I wasn't finding somebody. Until, you know, by the end of that 20-odd year period, I was just completely broken when it came to, and by broken, I don't mean I was a broken person. I mean, I was beaten down. I was very, very beaten down about finding somebody to the point where I just quit, which was the best thing I could have done. Just quitting.
Well, yes. And, you know, the, for me, for money, for those that are newer to the podcast, I'm in recovery, for a long time now from a severe gambling addiction, and that there's very few things that can create financial havoc in a life more than a gambling addiction. Then you apply the concepts of the law of attraction where you're constantly craving money or missing money or feeling a lack of money, and then the desire to gamble gets more and more and more. So that is a really incredible drive when you look at how that all comes together using the law of attraction. So for me, I perceive money as, even when I got in recovery, I still perceive myself as lacking money, or money will fix my problem. In reality, I receive things as I needed them, and I receive things as I expected them, but I only had enough. I never had an abundance. And it wasn't until I started living as if I had an abundance. And that doesn't mean running out and gambling all your money away. That's a fear-based move. Going out and gambling is put it to the universe. I got to go gamble to win money. My only shot is beating the odds of, you know, it has a reverse effect. So the money piece for me was when I really gave up on, like you're saying, look, I always have enough. Let me just be okay with having enough. And then that change of mindset like, wow, I do have enough. And then I had more, and then I had an abundance. And so I went at it by almost giving up for the desire of money and just living with, I have enough and I have an abundance. I have plenty. I have a roof over my head. I looked at it from that perspective, and that's when my ability to make money and keep money just drastically went up.
Mm. It's an interesting thing, actually. You're saying, okay, I'm okay with having enough, even though your driving need all that time was, I got to have a lot more money. And yet somehow you convince yourself you're willing to say, okay, well, I'm willing to settle for, you know, just this little bit that comes in that just keeps me going. I'm willing to be okay with that. That's a hard transition right there.
Well, and more than settle, because I think that sort of sends the wrong message. What I was feeling, at least here's what I was like, look, let me stop needing. My drive was I needed more stuff, or I needed more money.
Mm-hmm.
And my need for more money was fear-based.
Right.
Versus, look, I have enough money to meet everything I really need. Now, I want to reverse my constant drive for that. Every month I met my rent and my restitution payments and all the stuff that was involved in my way of living back then. But I barely would squeak by. And once I said, look, it's not about squeaking by. I have plenty. I'm going to let go of that drive for it and just realize that part's there. Then I want a feeling. Then I started feeling like, yeah, I have a really good life. I have plenty of food to eat. I have a roof over my head. I have I have several jobs at the time. While I didn't like the jobs that much, they were certainly providing what I needed. And so then the universe picked up that, well, Joel's satisfied. He's satisfied in what he's making. So the ability to give him more or allow him to attract more, it's almost like if the concept of is it judo that you use your opponent's weight against them, where you
judo
sense,
and aikido too, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where you basically, it isn't about overpowering somebody sometimes. It's about using their momentum against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost the law of attraction. Use the law of attraction. We've pushed so hard against it, and you're desperate. We had that outstanding email from that listener last week, and he was describing in the law of attraction, is working really well in all parts of his life, except the part of the life that he was focused on.
Yes.
And it was amazing that he was able to see that and also share with our audience that experience. It's like, yes, my health has gotten better. Now, I wasn't really worried about my health, but it is better. I lost weight. I wasn't really focused on losing weight. I was trying to get money, but everything else has improved except what I was really focused on.
Yeah.
And so by putting away the barrier, putting away the resistance, so when something doesn't come, it's your perception. It's because you believe it's not there. And that statement is what the law of attraction picks up on. When I look at, when I'm building or thinking about what I do, I envision having the ability to buy whatever I want to buy whenever I want to buy it. And that has become my reality. But with that, before anybody thinks, oh, well, Joel, I also don't need to go buy a $300,000 car today. There's no point in that. I don't really want that. I don't really need that. I could do it. It wouldn't be sense. It wouldn't make sense. Then I would start creating a deficit of a non-needed item that would eventually, I would have the wrong perspective of everything, and that could make everything go backwards as well.
That raises an interesting point. That raises an interesting point because, I mean, you were talking about how it feels when you're just making it each time and coming to the realization that, well, I am making it each time. I may not be, accumulating this big pile I was hoping for, but I am just getting by each time, so I can feel good about that. I can allow myself to feel good about that. But like you said, you can also get yourself in a place where there's not enough money coming in, and you're saying to yourself, how the heck am I going to get through the week, the month, the quarter or whatever it is? Because I don't see where the money's going to come from, and I know I'm going to have this much in the way of bills, and I don't see how to make that work. It's the same problem because it's the same kind of negative focus, but it's a different feeling because you're not, you can't kind of fall back on, well, at least I know we're going to get by.
Right, right. Well, and I'm going to tell a, this was a turning point in everything for me where I changed my mindset. And I'll sort of set the scene for you briefly. It was early in my recovery. I had been arrested for stealing from my company. I had was in recovery from my gambling addiction. I was living in a small apartment. I had three or four jobs. And every month I was able to meet my restitution payment, pay my rent, buy gas, pay my car insurance, the very basic, I had a very basic life at the time, but I was able to meet the obligations of that.
Mm-hmm.
And every month I was making it. Some months I was getting it, most months it was very close, but I was making it. Well, there was a month, it was, I believe it was September of 1996. Where I had this restitution payment due of $500. I had my rent due of $450. And those two were based in Electra. Those were sort of the non-negotiables. I had to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I paid my rent and in Florida, one of my jobs, was waiting tables at a restaurant and a resort island.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice, except the slowest time of the year is September in Florida. It's just all the tourists, the summer tourists are gone. The winter tourists aren't down yet. The kids are back in school. The locals aren't driving out to the island to eat. So it is really slow. And I realized about 2 days before the end of the month, and like I said, September, probably the end of September, I realized I was not going to have enough money for my restitution. I needed, you know, when it came to the final day to come up with the money, I needed a little over $100, actually $105 to be able to pay that.
Mm.
And in my mind, well, now, you see things differently. I would not have gone to jail if I didn't pay it off. Now, I'd paid and never missed a payment. But in my mind at the time, I had to make that payment or I would go to jail. That was my misconception at the time.
Yep.
So I was frantic that last day. So clearly, the only thing that I could come up with was, how can a person come up with money in less than 8 hours and, you know, without having any income coming in? I don't have anything to pawn at any value. I had nothing to sell. Of course, I could always go gamble, even though I haven't gambled in over a year. I could always go gamble. You know, that would maybe work. And, of course, that's the exact opposite of what we were trying to accomplish. That certainly was not what we were after, but what I was after. And so I thought about it. I actually thought, okay, I'll take this, you know, $395 and I'll go up to the dog track and all I got to win is the 150, whatever. And then I'll be able to pay everything and I'll be fine. And I almost did that. And a year into recovery. Wow. And I said, no, I stopped myself, fortunately. And I said, I'm not doing that anymore. I got to change it. That's a desperate act. And this is before I was really into the law of attraction. It was really where I was starting to make the change. And this story is a very big piece of the change.
Okay.
And I said, no, I said, I will not gamble. I will rather go to jail than not start that pattern of behavior over again. I just sort of took a deep breath and said, no, I was shocked within 10 minutes of me making that decision. If I would have gotten my car and left, I'd have missed the call because this was before cell phones were prevalent. I had a house phone, a landline.
Right.
And the phone rang, and it was the restaurant that I'd worked at. And the gentleman who was the manager, he was very nice. He said, Joel, he said, I need you last minute. So we have a tour bus coming in tonight. I don't have anybody here tonight. I will guarantee you $100 if you come in. And I was like, oh my gosh, talk about a miracle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I actually had to borrow a couple dollars from my neighbor to drive out to the island. He gave me $5 for gas. I went out there, worked really hard, had a good time working and, you know, I didn't know how much money I was making and I don't know how they do it now, but back in the day when you were doing tips and the people would pay you either cash or credit card. And at the end of the night, you'd sit down with a manager, you would count out the money, and then whatever was left over was your tips.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I sat down and counted it out, I was amazed, Walt, that when it was done, I made $125, I believe.
Wow.
And it was enough to pay my neighbor back, put a little more gas in my car, and cover my restitution.
Mm.
And it was at that moment I was able to let go of the fear of all that and let go. I'm like, look, I don't, even the last minute I got that covered. And then it opened the door to me even mentioning to my probation officer at the time. I told her everything that happened. I said, yeah, you almost gambled over this. And she said, Joel, you're doing really well. Don't worry about it. If you can't cover it every month exactly, so nobody ever goes through this and never makes it all the way. You don't worry about that. You're doing great. And that helped me out a lot. And then that took any pressure off at that point. And I never, ever failed to make that payment. In fact, I paid it off early. And I started noticing, instead of just enough, I was ending the month with maybe $150, $200 extra at a time. Then a little more, then a little more. And it's just, as I changed what my expectations or what my beliefs changed, and the law of attraction met that, my fear of things are what kept causing me to get into those other areas.
Right. Yeah, that's something that I noticed, taking a step back, I talked about how before I met Louise, there was a 20-year period I hadn't met anybody. And then I quit. I kind of gave up on just trying to find anybody. And that released a lot of the resistance that I didn't realize I was releasing resistance, but that's what ended up happening. And a month later, I got introduced to Louise, or 2 months later, I guess it was. And, you know, it was just one of those things that kind of surprises you. But it also, at the time, I was so beaten down that I wasn't even sure it was happening. I was very pessimistic about the whole thing. So I didn't think it was going to work out. It did work out. But my point is that when you're in that place, first of all, you think you're still asking for the thing. You don't realize you're asking for the lack. You don't realize that you're putting out the wrong signal. You think you're putting out the right signal. And so that raises an interesting question. How do you know when you're putting out the right signal? And how do you know when you're putting out the wrong signal?
Well, and that, I think you basically have asked the single biggest question of the law of attraction right there. What is that? And, you know, you, it's what you're feeling. It's hard. You and I have discussed this in many different ways about how to understand. You think you're putting it out there, but the truth is, when there's anxiety attached to what you're putting out there, it isn't the exact reverse of what you're doing. It's you're putting out the opposite. So you almost have the key that, whether it's Abraham Hicks or whoever, the key that they always talk about is, what are you feeling? Check your emotion. What emotion do I feel attached to this? If it's an anxiety, fear-based emotion, you are absolutely on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you are really, really in tune, you're really, really feeling good about it, you're feeling open, this is exciting, this is, oh, wow, I love how this is feeling, the law of attraction, yep, there you go. That's what this person's after.
Mm-hmm.
Really big. Really big.
And, of course, what also can complicate matters is when you're in a relationship with somebody, or you have a close friend or whatever, and you do a lot of things with this person. You're spending a lot of time with this person, and you're trying to focus on this stuff, and the other person's not in as good a place as you are. So now you have sort of a divided allegiance, in a sense. You have a divided attention, let's put it that way. Your attention is divided because, on the one hand, you're trying to learn to focus on this thing that you want and not get anxious about it. And on the other hand, you're dealing with your spouse or your friend or whoever this person is who's close to you, who's struggling a lot. And so your tendency is just to kind of get pulled down to where they're at. And you got this little, you know, tennis match going on, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Which way are you going to go? That kind of complicates the issue, too. How do you deal with that?
Well, this is where it gets real. You know, the energy vibration of other people that we pick up on is huge. And I have a great example of that with my mom, who, you know, again, I love my mom very much. She passed away, last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not speaking poorly of her, or, you know,
no,
I'm not trying to talk bad, or, but my mom always had an extreme fear of lack of money. Her and money were never, I mean, she always was, she grew up in an alcoholic, with my alcoholic grandfather. So she always had this very fearful approach to money. And she was poor. She married a compulsive gambler. He took all the money. So money was a massive struggle for her for a long time. Mm. And the reason I share all that is as we have moved forward, she eventually married my dad, mm-hmm. who was very successful, and he really came in life with, money was nothing to him. It was just, whatever. He had his own business, and he developed he had plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they were married and as time moved on, my mom's influence eventually overrode my dad's influence.
Mm, on you, you mean?
And on them, on each other.
Oh, on each other.
And so like for example, my mom's fear of money outweighed my dad's apathy, or didn't care, had plenty of money. And his abundance mindset was overrode by my mom. And we had talked, and he was, after he retired, his term, he said, I don't know where our money's going. It's just going out. And he was losing a bunch of money. And then he got desperate, and he was trying to invest in the stock. He had plenty of money, but he was trying to invest in the stock market. A lot of his stocks were in this company. He had an insurance agency, and he also had a lot of stocks in several insurance companies. Well, when the market crashed in 2008, his portfolio was cut in half.
Right.
He kept buying stock on the way down and kept losing money. Ugh. He was in a desperate mindset of money,
yeah.
and lost a fortune in a short period of time.
Mm.
And he lived fear-based money for a while. I'm just showing you that dynamics, and his right. attitude toward money changed drastically. And, and my mom was reinforcing with, she had a real strong personality. See, I told you we were going to run out of money. I told you that. And then her reality became clear. So mm-hmm. when you have somebody on the other side, not intending that, my mom didn't intend to make this happen. Fear was her way of coping. Fear, she always imagined the worst case scenario, and often the worst case scenario happened, but at least mentally she was prepared for it, was her perspective.
Right.
And that was sort of what was going on with their life that during that time. You know, it was very, it was very sad to watch happen, but it got to a point where, it was clearly bad. But over the years, and when Mom passed away, and of course my dad sort of turned over the finances, and they're okay, but they're fine now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is certainly their finances work out, and he has money, and he's in a home, and things are okay. However, I saw the effect of my mom's fear-based money problems change. It overrode that. Now, I'm not saying one's stronger than the other. But the personality of that fear, it's easy to get stuck in that mindset. And the law of attraction, it's picking up on what you're putting out there. So when you're with that partner or friend or whatever, there's no chance of this working if you allow that negative view or that other view to sort of go. I mean, that's really, it's really sad.
Yeah, it is sad. But there's got to be a way to address it. I mean, I suppose one way to address it would be drastic. You just basically break ties with that person, but we can't always do that. We can't always break ties. So, and sometimes we don't want to break ties. I mean, certainly in the case that you described, it's not like your parents wanted a divorce or something like that. They just were caught into this cycle together and needed to get out of it. Well,
right.
There's got to be a way out of it. How do you get out of it?
Well, and that's where, if you can get out of it, if both parties can recognize, look, here's what's happened. When I tried... Right. Over the years, as I was trying to explain that to them and try to get my, it was very, very hard to change my mom's lifelong belief system toward money.
Mm.
In fact, it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to come from her son, who in her mind had no ability to handle money because
yeah.
Because I had a gambling issue. But, I was like the last person to take this message to her.
Which is ironic, considering that you told me that the first man that she was involved with was also a compulsive gambler,
right?
Which made me think that somehow that got passed through her to you, but she certainly didn't see it that way. I'm certain of that. She would have thought that the two were, were separate.
Absolutely. So, you know, it was getting someone to convince. I had a couple in my office this weekend, and the young lady is an extreme, just an extreme practitioner of the law of attraction. And, okay. I think the world over, her husband is a really good, he's a really good man. He's really trying hard, but yet he struggles sometimes with the, you know, the living that way. And so they actually came in to talk, how can we look at the abundance? And he was so receptive to it. They have multi, you know, my goal with any client, I'm always trying to sell people on the concept of multiple revenue streams, you know, and not always have many irons in the fire, always have a lot of stuff going on, and be excited about your finances, be excited about your abundance. And he really, really bought into that, and it was really cool. But most of us at some point will have to battle that. And whether it's a couple or an individual, you're going to have to attack that negative lack of feeling and replace it with a feeling of abundance. And it's really hard. Rhonda Byrne, when writing The Secret was originally going to be a movie or a documentary. And as she was getting this produced, this is how strongly she believed in this. And she talks about this in the book. As she was making this, she was running out of money quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of getting desperate for money, she knew she had to change that mindset. So she goes to an ATM and takes, and I forget, I mean, quite a bit of money out of an ATM, using a credit card, which, you know, is not the most cash efficient way to do things.
No, not a healthy way
and
to do things.
Literally, no. I mean, I'm never suggesting that. However, she did. She did it for her, and she went out and just started handing out money to people. And putting yourself in a feeling of abundance, to have plenty to give away. And it, you know, it was part of the process that it changed her back to a perspective-based mindset, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then when she sort of backed up on everything, she realized that was a turning point for her. She got back in the abundance, and The Secret, you know, made her one of the wealthiest women in the world, you
right,
know, as
sure.
far as the overall concept. And, so it really, we have this ability, but that is probably the number one thing. Why aren't things showing up? I get that question all the time.
Mm.
And, you know, in examining it, it always gets down to what is my real raw emotion attached to this? Because if I'm fearful of not having it, let's just line up and get less of it. That's what we're saying.
There are two thoughts that have occurred to me while you were telling that story plus your previous story. The first one being, we have a tendency as human beings to compartmentalize. And so I think you mentioned earlier on how we can have other things going very well in our lives, but there's that one thing, like the guy who wrote us last week, who had all these things that were working out so well in his life, but he just couldn't get the money thing. And he was even noticing that he was saying that. And yet, I think a lot of the time, we compartmentalize it to the point where we figure, well, if the money part isn't coming in, or whatever it is that you're struggling with, if that part isn't coming in, that kind of blanks out the rest of it. You know, I'll just kind of ignore the fact that it's working in these other areas because, hey, it's not working here where I need it to work, so why even pay attention to that? We actually separate it in our minds so that there's all the success over there, there's a failure over here, therefore it fails. You know what I mean?
Yes. I completely, and that's it. And that's that your description of that is every single thing that people who try this concept end up losing. They get out there, they're really trying, they really know they're doing it, they really know this is the way they want to go, but yet it's not coming. And that's everything within that. It is. The rest of the stuff's working great, but the main reason I got into this, it isn't working.
Mm.
So it's easy to identify it. It's the hardest part of it, of that identification of what you're really feeling. And in the compartment, you put everything in different compartments in your life. What do you think about, I love this experiment, and if you don't have to actually literally write it down, but I also will ask people to do a what are you thinking about throughout the day? If you're sitting at a desk in ability to do this, let's write down the things that you're thinking about. And there's been studies, and you'll hear it all over the place. You'll hear I don't want to get caught up in the semantics of it, but we have anywhere from 60 to 100,000 thoughts a day.
Mm-hmm.
60,000 to 100,000 thoughts a day. And that's such a wide margin because I've heard so many different things, so I don't include all sides.
Right.
But everybody agrees, regardless of the number of, everybody agrees that those numbers are 90% of our thoughts are the same thoughts we had the day before.
Yeah.
And of those thoughts, 75 to 80% of those thoughts are negative fear-based thoughts.
Mm.
And if you keep breaking it down further, it's almost always on the same topic that your fear is.
Yeah.
Fear of relationships, fear. You know, I have, some clients of extreme wealth that I work with. And money isn't a thing. It's just not even they don't have money. Doesn't become an issue in their life on any level.
Mm-hmm.
So step away from the money for them, but they have an equal amount of fear-based stuff in relationships, or, you know, almost everybody with money struggles with their kids, because the kids are, often, not able to survive in society because they've been spoiled so bad with so many things. So their fear-based stuff is not out of a lack of money. I almost inevitably, when I'm dealing with people with extreme wealth, some of them feel on some level the money is a curse. Mm. And it's amazing to hear that.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it's great to have. However, it is a curse because my son, since, he's never had to do anything. He's 30. He gets his trust fund, $5,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 a month put into his account every month. He doesn't do anything. He's wasting his life. It's like, wow. Mm. He said if he didn't have the money, he wouldn't have that ability not to do that. He will never achieve what he would have achieved if he didn't have the money in his account every month. So again, that perspective is so, and yet they create those same problems. So I have that really unique way have a unique ability to just sit back and see that. And it's amazing to watch it happen because, again, that perspective is so different than what the average person deals with. It's the other side, but it proves the point that where your focus is, where your thoughts are, that's the negative black hole that we develop.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, let's also talk about, as you were describing that, another thought was coming to my mind, how when we have a chronic pattern, because you just described very nicely how we have a chronic pattern of thoughts. Most of us, 90% of our thoughts every day are the same thoughts, the same thing on the same subject, played out in the same way, and we're repeating them over and over and over again. Well, very often, if you have a chronic pattern that goes, a chronic set of expectation, let's call it that, you have a chronic set of expectation, even if you're not directly focusing on it. Let's say it's money. If you have a money issue going on, and you may not actually actively been thinking throughout the day, well, there's not enough money. Well, there's, I don't know how we're going to get through the month, or I don't know how we're going to get through the year, or I'm not sure how we're going to get through the winter, or whatever it is. And despite the fact that you don't have, those conscious thoughts going on, there is, in the background, there's an attitude that it's there. So you don't necessarily focus on particular distinct thoughts, but there's an ongoing attitude. It just kind of frames the way you look at the world. So even though you're not actively thinking those thoughts, every step that you take has a feeling behind it of we're in trouble. Every step you take has a feeling of, well, I still don't know how we're going to make it through the month. Like, even though I'm deliberately not focusing on that, but it's still there. It still plays in the background. And when you have that, it's a guarantee. You're not going to get to where you want to get to. So Even when we play the mind game with ourselves, we find ourselves very much in a place. And same thing can be true with a relationship. I mean, actually, it's probably even easier to describe with a relationship. Because if you have, I think you mentioned a relationship between somebody who has money and their kids, right? You know, so the relationship with their kids has suffered in some way. And inevitably, they could be working their business, you know, whatever it is that they're doing that's pouring the money in. And in the back of their mind all day is the kid's not doing well, or the kid doesn't feel like I'm giving him enough attention, or the kid's giving me grief, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing. You're not actively thinking about it. It's just kind of hovering back there. It just kind of sits there.
Absolutely.
And when it just sits it's like the most worst kind of chronic thing of all, because you don't notice it a lot of the time. You don't even see it.
Well, and what you describe, you really hit this on the head, Walt. This is the subconscious that's taking place in. That's not the part of the brain that you have direct access to. It's that secondary protocol in the back, I call it. It's where everything, you know, you know you're worried about it, but you can't stop worrying about it. You know you're putting that out there. And that's why this is such a difficult thing to do, because the part of the brain if this took place in the prefrontal cortex, boom, I got it. Boom, I got control
all
over
right.
that. I don't have that subconscious access directly with verbiage. Now I can control try to attempt to control my feelings, which can get to the subconscious. But when you're sitting there, like you're saying, you're not thinking about it. You're doing a good job not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's just hitting home on that subconscious level. There's this, I'm worried about this, or what's he going to do, or what's she going to do, or what's the situation going to be. And, you know, one of the things that I always like to incorporate, I'm a big believer in part of the law of attraction is the law of action. We're taking action. And one of the things that happens is when when I recommend to someone who has an abundance and they don't have to work, and I recommend they go to work, they look at me like I'm absolutely crazy.
Mm.
But going to work, or whether it's volunteer or finding something that you're passionate about or whatever, is more than the actual need for money. It is for people who have money, it gets them out of that mindset of being stuck. It gets them out of that mindset of being defeated, and saying, I'm taking action, I'm doing something. And so my mind is distracted. And if I can distract the subconscious, you then have access to what we're talking about. So distracting the subconscious, you if you get to work, you're excited about work and blah, 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 or whatever your day's on. But if you're sitting around all day, or you're in a job where you're not really able to, you know, be distracted in a way, or your life is being driven by this subconscious tape that's playing in your head. The other day on my computer, I'm not very computer literate. I fake it well enough to get by, but
a lot of people do.
And, and so I'm walking upstairs to my bedroom and I hear this noise. I've been gone all day. Well, my computer's playing some random ad. And I'm looking at it going, where is that coming from? And I'm trying to figure out, you know, I don't even have a tab open. And I'm going, oh my gosh, it's like possessed. And so I don't know how to turn the thing off, and it's just playing this ad. And you know, I talked to one of my buddies, and he told me what to do. And I have this thing on my Chrome browser. It's a long story, but it came out of nowhere. I didn't know where that noise was coming from, and I couldn't access it. Well, that's exactly what's happening. You don't know where that noise is at, so you don't have access to it. So you can't get there. So all you can do sometimes is distract or try to get away from it. But it is that world that you're describing, Walt, that place that we live, where that pervasive background noise is really what we're trying to get to. You think it's the upfront noise, but it's the pervasive background noise that's kicking butt back there.
And
that feeling and that emotion. And so that's the answer. You know, if I'm not bringing or attracting what I want, that's the key. And I would love to come up with a simple, simple, super simple solution to get there, but it's really describing something that is hard to describe. It's like if I were to ask you to describe what chocolate tastes like, you could do a really good job trying.
Yep.
But you're not going to do it justice. Lord, nobody can do that justice. That's what I'm saying. And, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yes, I need some chocolate. But you get the point. And that background noise is the driving force, where to get to it. So you only can attack it by your real feelings. By what you focus on is what you bring to reality. If you focus on a lack of love, relationship, or whatever your stuff is, that is what you're bringing to reality, even though it feels you're doing the exact opposite.
And while there may not be a simple way to get there, there are some easy things that people have learned to do and teach each other to do, processes and modalities and so forth, you know, mirror exercises and daily affirmations and journaling and meditation, all this that people use as ways to try to kind of rewrite that tape and, or perhaps write over it with a better message and so forth. And that can have some effectiveness if we're willing to be really, you know, consistently committed to doing it to the point where you successfully overwrite. I mean, I know that, in fact, you're actually making me think I should probably go back and do this some more. Last spring, I spent about a month and a half doing a daily mirror exercise. Basically just, you know, looking in the mirror, telling myself how, you know, building myself up, telling myself all the things that I think that are really good about what I'm doing in my life and, you know, why there's so much to be proud of and there's so much that's good that's going on and so forth. And just building up my own self-esteem by just looking myself in the eye and saying, hey, you're doing all these great things. Keep doing those great things. And the immediate goal that I was pursuing with that was to get rid of not so much that subconscious thing, but the negative self-talk, you know, where the voice is actively taking you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down. You're saying, turn that voice off. I don't want that voice. And it did. It did actively, within about 30 days, that voice silenced, which was, first of all, surprising because it was nice to have quiet for a while, you know? My mind was just actually quiet, and I was not used to that.
Yes.
But I got used to it really quickly because it was great. It was wonderful. But it also makes me wonder, maybe I should be doing something like that to try to, you know, go after any of these subconscious messages that are going on, because maybe it has the same kind of effect to do that.
So, Walt, what you're telling me is something that you're going to apply something that's worked effectively in the past to something that's bothering you now. That's a brilliant idea. I love that. Let's do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Great. That's how you take something that has worked. Now you have a belief in that,
mm-hmm.
and it goes forward. And does, and I you're absolutely dead on that. You know, everybody finding what people can do. You know, Dr. Wayne Dreyer used to talk about tapping.
EFT.
There's a technique, a rapid eye movement technique that's similar.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically desensitize the anxiety of things by using these techniques, or you're able to, does that work for you? Or, you know, various forms of vision boards or various ways of getting to the subconscious. And people have a lot depends on how people's brains process information. And we all have a certain degree, but what percentage is, some people do everything by sight. You know, they need to see it.
Right.
Other people need to hear it, and other people need to feel it or sense it.
Mm-hmm.
And so figuring out what works for you is the key, or the combination. You know, I do best by hearing and then feeling, and then seeing is probably my last thing.
Mm.
So I'm constantly listening to positive, you know, messages. I have audible.com. I'm constantly listening to books. In my car, I'm listening to, you know, various Buddhist tapes and concepts of all this law of attraction, positive mindset. And so I'm inundated with this, so that becomes my reality. And so I program that way. It's a programming of the subconscious. And as you said, over a 28, 30-day, 35-day period, you really start to understand how to get to it. I have one client that's really working well. There's a headset. I'm actually find this a pretty good product. It's called Muse, the Muse headset, M-U-S-E.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a very cheap, very, very inexpensive. It's not cheap, very inexpensive version of a neurofeedback machine. It goes on your forehead and it picks up the basic brain waves. And when you put it on, it plays background music that supports, you know, it lets you know, okay, your brain waves are really at high level right now, meaning you're stressed, you're anxious, or you're distracted, or whatever that means for the person. And then you learn to, by relaxing your brain, the sound goes down. You're able to, and then when you get to that real low part where everything's relaxed, there's birds that'll chirp as sort of a reward. And then when your mind starts to sway again, it'll go up, and you learn to control what you're putting out there using a device like that. I'm a big believer in neuro and biofeedback. When people, you know, they don't cure anything, they give you a conduit to which you can control things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's incredible that we can do, and you can do that, like you say, looking in the mirror, whatever works for every individual, but there's a lot of techniques. The key is you got to try something. You got to figure out what works. And don't give up with that. If that one thing doesn't work exactly right, figure out a combination of things do work, because there is an abundance. There's no one listening to us that is destined for a lack, unless their big fear is lack, and that's what they'll continue to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's just accepting that there's an abundance awaiting. The law of attraction is emotionless and could care less about who you are, what you are, where you've been through. It doesn't care about all that.
Mm-hmm.
It simply will respond to what you truly believe about yourself. That's why poor people, I say this all the time when I give talks, poor people are perpetually stuck in being poor, not because of a lack of money, but because it's a mindset of poor. Rich people, even if they lose everything, rich people are rich because of a mindset of being rich. In Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich is based on that concept. And that's what I, that's where the law of attraction stuff comes from, that book. And written was a discovery. He wasn't thinking.
Right.
Napoleon Hill wrote that. He wanted to find the commonality of everyone who had success, especially during the Depression in the you know, late 20s, early 30s of, 1900. And, he wanted to find the commonality of why the majority of the country was going broke, yet there's certain group of people that were getting fabulously wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't identify Walt. I mean, he couldn't identify it at first. He's like, well, that guy's an idiot, or this guy's, you know, there were people that did really detailed things. There were people who had, you know, ADHD kind of, you know, crazy off the wall thoughts. There were some that were ranting incoherently. Some kept spending money ridiculously. So there was no method of similarity, except they all sincerely believed they were wealthy, or they were due to be wealthy.
Mm.
And that's the one commonality found.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you see it on the Facebook Law of Attraction groups all the time. People asking, you know, what can you tell me? What works to get me to reprogram my mind, to help me get to where I want to get to? And people will come up with all different kinds of processes. And yet, like you say, you have to keep looking, because I remember the first time, for instance, I heard about journaling. Now, did I apply myself to journaling really well? No, not really. What I ended up doing was trying it for about 5 minutes and really hating the activity. And so I gave up and I decided it didn't work. But because I had decided it didn't work, I carried with me the longest time, well, that doesn't work. That's a waste of time. And I found myself doing that with a number of different processes that you can do. So one of the reasons that you want to try doing multiple processes is to sort out the ones that you don't enjoy doing and find the ones that you do enjoy doing. I mean, I found, much to my surprise, I liked the mirror exercise. I didn't like it at first. The first couple of days was really rough, because I just was not, I did not do well with the idea of looking in the mirror and telling myself how wonderful I was. It just didn't, that rubbed me the wrong way. But once I got past the first day or two of it, it was actually pretty easy. And I actually found I was enjoying it. And that's what enabled me to get through doing it for 30 days. I was surprised that I did it for 30 days. But that's what enabled me to get through it.
And that, and for me, this whole, the exact same thing you're talking about, you know, I'm a big practitioner now of meditation and I do it every day. And I wanted to meditate for years, and I have a very active ADHD brain, and I bought into the concept, and people supported that. Doctors, oh, you can't meditate. Your brain is too active.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, clearly I can't meditate.
Apparently not.
And, mm. and then finally, I met this guy. He's very much into this, and he was just awesome. He said, Joel, he said, you can't not meditate. It's stupid to think. He said, you sit down, focus on breathing. And I said, but mind wanders. He goes, everybody's mind wanders. He said, let it wander and then come back and say, oops, let me get back to breathing. And eventually you'll get it. And in the beginning, I probably was distracted 20 times a minute.
Yeah.
And then maybe 5 times a minute. Now I can go 10, 15, 20 minutes without any distraction, but it wasn't wrong when I was getting distracted. It was part of the effective process. And that's what, just like you're saying with the mirror, in the beginning, like, oh, this doesn't work. Well, I, for years, knew meditation was an effective tool for me, but I never would stick with it until I stuck with it. And now find it as my single most go-to thing of being able to deal with all this stuff.
I even found that with meditation, I to this day, I still can't sit down and just meditate. It just rubs me the wrong way. But I learned, mostly through doing this podcast and talking to co-hosts like you who are life coaches, I learned that I actually had been doing a form of meditation without realizing, 2 different forms. One form is where I get up and pace. And as I pace, I've done this for years, but I never did it consciously. I just did this. I would pace, and as I went, I would shake my hands because it was like I was shaking off bad energy. And it was totally subconscious. I had no idea that I was doing anything deliberate there to let go of stuff, but I was. And I don't remember who it was. One of my co-hosts pointed out to me, well, that's a walking meditation. I said, really? You mean I've been meditating all these years and I didn't know it? So you don't have to necessarily do it. Just because one particular approach works for everybody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. You just find the one that works for you.
Completely. And that is the absolute answer to all of this right there is when you're able to do that, figure out how to do what works for you and move on. Mm-hmm. When you're putting out there, I'm doing it wrong, the law of attraction. Yep, you're doing it wrong.
That's right.
And that's for the response. But this is, I love these how-to shows, so to speak, because it is the single most common thing that I have people that are trying to grasp this. They ask, why isn't this working? Why isn't what I'm trying to bring about coming about?
Right.
And they almost always answer their question, just like our viewer did last week.
Mm.
And well, everything that I'm not focused on is great. I'm like, okay, maybe we'll peel back from there. And
yes.
Let's look at that.
Absolutely. Hey, before we part company, I want to make sure I let people know, as I always do every episode, make sure you subscribe if you're not yet a subscriber. These days, a lot more people know how to do that. But if you aren't sure how, we've set up instructions on the homepage of the website, loatoday.net. Instructions, heck, it's just, there are 2 icons. There's one for Android phones, there's one for iPhones. It's pretty simple. You click the one that's for you, and it walks you through it. And to make it even more simple, we're now putting into the descriptions of each of these podcasts. So if you're finding it on our website or on Facebook or whatever, we're as often as possible, as often as I'm remembering to do it, we're putting in links saying, okay, you got an iPhone, click here. You got an Android phone, click here. You got an iPad, click here. And just making it as simple as we can for people to subscribe, because when you subscribe, you get all of our episodes. And Joel, like you're talking about, all those episodes are just full of all kinds of amazing things. Very different. Every single episode's different. Although, like you, I like it when we're talking about the how-to, how do you do the stuff. And we talk about that kind of thing, too. So please become a subscriber, and you'll get all that coming for free right to your device. And then once you are a subscriber, join the rest of our subscribers, particularly those who are regularly tweeting or Facebooking or Instagramming or whatever. I'm listening to loatoday.net because that helps through the power of social media and through the power of the law of attraction. It helps more people get that daily dose of happy that we're putting out. And I've said it before, and this is one of my mantras, Joel. I keep saying it over and over again. I keep trying to imagine and getting really excited about what happens when 10,000 people are listening to every one of our episodes. I mean, that that boggles the mind. First of all, it's such a large number. But second of all, just imagining so many people getting a daily dose of happy, getting out there and feeling great. I can only begin to imagine what's going to come out of that, you know?
Oh, that's what we do it for every week is the growth and the people we can affect and as well as the benefit you get from doing this and subscribing and posting and is you know we're not asking for any money. We're just simply asking to help share the message, and that's the beauty of it.
It really is.
I'm excited to do it with you every week, my friend.
Well, thank you for doing it, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, Walt. You too.
All right, and we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.